talk to you this evening about. We're mirroring what they're studying about in children's church. So if you have kids over in the children's area, they're studying about the same thing that we're studying about through the month of December. So tonight we're going to talk about the title of the message is When God Changes Your Plans. Have you ever had God change your plans? Amen. Something happened and it's like, ooh, I didn't see that coming. Sometimes it's gone, sometimes it's not, but a lot of times our plans change. I heard a story this past week about there's a guy, he was in a hot air balloon, and he realized that he's lost. He don't know where he's at, so he reduces his height, and he spots a man down below, and he hollers down at the man. He says, "Excuse me, can you tell me where I am?" Some of y'all know where this is going. The man below said, "Yes, you're in a hot air balloon, hovering about 30 feet above this field right here." The guy says, "You must be an engineer." The guy says, "I am. How did you know that?" "Well," the balloonist said, "everything you've told me is technically correct, but it's of no use to me." Well, the man below, he says, "You must be in management." "I am," he replied, "but how did you know that?" "Well, you don't know where you are or where you're going, but you expect me to be able to help. You're in the same position you were before we met, but now it's my fault." Well, the world is full of confusion. Our world is full of confusion. Our world, I would suggest to you this evening, needs an interruption. If our world ever needed an interruption by God, it'd be a good time from this preacher's perspective. It'd be a good time for God to interrupt. Some of us may need an interruption this evening in my prayer this evening. In fact, I want to pray. I think, and I thought about this before I came up here, I think that we need a word from God this evening. How many would like that? And so, I know you wouldn't be here. I get that. But let's take this next 20 or 30 minutes, probably more like 30, and let's give God the best 30 minutes that we can give him right now. I'll do the best I can to say it right. You do the best you can to hear it right. How about that? So, Lord, we give this time to you, oh God. We know that there's a lot of us here this evening that have been kind of weary from the day, and we pray for that you would give us your energy. I pray, Lord, that you would give us your heart and your mind, and Lord, as we have together, we have come under and renewed our covenant relationship with you through taking communion and celebrating what you did for us when you gave your life's blood and your body was broken for us. So this evening, we just pause right now and say, God, this evening is for you. And I pray, oh God, that you would get glory from this evening and that we would learn more about you and more about who you created us to be. In Jesus' name, the church said. When God interrupts, if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Luke chapter 1. The book of Luke chapter 1. And please bring your Bible. Let me just encourage you to bring your Bible because it does a lot of things for you. First of all, it helps you to find the different books of the Bible. And I think a lot of times people get embarrassed because they can't find the book in time, you know. And I got to confess to you. I mean, I'm gonna tell you and I'm going to go on and you're going to have to find it. Just you're on your own. But bring your Bible so you can learn about it. See what a lot of times people think. Well, I don't want to get embarrassed because I can't find that book, Hezekiah or whatever. Well, listen, don't be embarrassed. Chances are real good. You wonder about what people are thinking. Chances are they're not even thinking about you. So it's not a big deal, even if they are. They're Christian people. They ought to be nice. Right? There is an interesting statistic. We'll get to Luke chapter 1 in a minute, but there is an interesting statistic. As baby boomers begin to move into retirement age, we no longer are talking about a baby boom, but many are labeling this time a baby bust. In the United States in 1920, the fertility rate was 3.2 children per woman. Today, that rate has dropped to only 1.8 children per woman on average. In Europe, in 1970, the fertility rate in European women was 2.8, but over the last 35 years, it has dropped to 1.5 children. So the reality is that more and more women have found themselves either not wanting children or in unplanned pregnancies, unwanted because it messed their plans up or messed their educational plans or their vocational plans or their financial plans. However, this predicament is nothing new. We find in our text today, taking us back over 2,000 years ago, we find a young woman that discovers that she has an unplanned pregnancy that was about to change her life forever. Not just her life, but everybody's life. We find it in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was John the Baptist's mother, the cousin of Jesus. In Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her, Gabriel the angel, and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." That's a great word, isn't it? Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Verse 30, "Do not be afraid, Mary," the angel said, "for you have found favor with God." In other words, he said, fear not. Now, all through the Bible, it's saying, don't be afraid. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And the opposite of fear, you know this, the opposite of fear is faith. And if our heart is filled with fear, it's hard to live by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So being fearful cannot be an option for today's Christian. Fear not. And if you have fear in your life, and many times we do, but we have to deal with that fear and replace it with faith. Amen. "So you will conceive," he said, "and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will have no end." His kingdom's still going on, and it will continue to go on. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I am a virgin." A pretty good question. The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God." And Mary responded. Let me think about this for a minute. See, that's why you got to bring your Bibles, because she didn't say that. She said, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her. Now, I think that this is interesting. In the King James Version, it says that, "For with God nothing will be impossible." And in Genesis, God says, it says, "Is there anything too hard for God?" The prophet Jeremiah said, "Is there anything too hard for God?" And my question to you this evening is, in your life, is there anything too hard for God? Because if you say that there's something in your life that God isn't capable of doing, then your God is not the same God that we serve. It's not the same God or the God of the Bible, because everything that we do, everything that anything, my God can do anything. Why? Because he is all powerful. He is omnipresent. He is all present. He is all powerful. And he can do anything he wants, because nothing is too difficult for him. Remember that next time you pray. If you ever prayed and you didn't get the answer that you thought was right, God's capable. And sometimes the answer is no, but sometimes it's yes. And we live in a miraculous generation. God continues to do miracle after miracle. Everybody say, I am a miracle. I'm telling you, there's a lot of miracles that come and go, and we don't even know about it. We see several interesting things taking place during the exchange between Mary and Gabriel. The first thing we see is that God interrupted Mary's plans. About 9 months before the first Christmas, God intervened in human affairs and radically altered Mary's plans with an unplanned gift. She was planning on marrying Joseph, a descendant of King David, who made his living working in Nazareth as a carpenter. Matthew tells us that he was a good man. He wasn't rich, but would have made a comfortable living. She planned on getting married and having 2.5 kids, or whatever the rate was in that day. I never could figure out how they got the 0.5. But it was a good plan. It was a comfortable plan. But God had a different plan, a better plan, if you will. But then God came along and he changed everything. I was thinking about this message, and years ago, Darla and I were living in Colorado, and Darla's mom had heart surgery, and she was recovering from heart surgery. We felt like we should come down and help her recover in her recovery. So we came down, and we moved down and helped her, and we were seeking God. The deal, the chaplaincy at a little quarter horse track outside of Austin opened up. And we went to that racetrack to be chaplains. The very first service that we had at that racetrack, there was about 20 people. It was in a bar. Now, God can move anywhere he wants to. Remember this, God can do anything he wants to do. So we're having church in this bar. It's in a little circle here, and there's about 20 people in this circle. And whenever we got the end of the service, I said, I don't know if you've received Christ as your Savior. If you've not, I'd like to give you that opportunity. If you'd like to do that, raise your hand. This is the first time and the last time this has ever happened in my entire life. Everybody there raised their hands that they wanted to ask Jesus to come into the heart. I'd never had that happen before. But that was at Maynard Downs. And so we were there. And then we moved to Houston, and we were there for 6 years. And then we evolved up here to Montgomery. And I got to thinking about what would have happened if some of those events would have taken different turns. Would we have wound up in the place that we now know we were destined to be, which was Montgomery? And I think it's important that we embrace the process that God has us in. It was a very difficult job there at Houston at the racetrack. It was the hardest job I ever had in my life. But it helped me to prepare. And Darla, my goodness, it was a tough deal for both of us, but it helped us to prepare for this. But we didn't know everything that God had for us. We just had vision that he'd given us. And what happens is he'll let us know along the way. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He lets you know kind of along the way what his plans is. And he doesn't always give you the full picture, because I don't know why, but he doesn't always do that. But he comes along and he says to Mary through the angel, Mary, I know that you have plans in place. Everything is on schedule, but I have a different idea. Before you and Joseph get married, you're going to become pregnant. And by the way, Joseph is not going to be the father. I am. talk about having a monkey wrench thrown in her plans. Now, we know why he said, fear not. The opposite of fear is faith, and she had to exercise her faith in God. Matthew tells us when Joseph found out that his fiancée, the girl he was planning on marrying, was pregnant, he decided to break the engagement quietly. It tells us in Matthew chapter 1. We see here what the character of Joseph, the character that Joseph had, because he wanted to break off the engagement quietly so Mary wouldn't be disgraced publicly. How many guys do you know would act in the best interest of the woman if they believed that they'd been cheated on? Just a question. However, an angel from heaven came and convinced him that Mary's story was from God and he should go through with the marriage. But it wasn't just Mary and Joseph's plans to change the birth to plans that changed by the birth of Jesus. It pretty much affected everybody's plans. You think about it, changed the plans of the shepherds who were planning another peaceful night in the Judean hillside. It changed Herod's plans. You remember Herod, he was the one planning on being king of the Jews, and all these people are saying that Jesus is going to be the king of the Jews, so he sent his soldiers to kill all the children in Bethlehem, all the male children in Bethlehem that were 2 years old and under. You think of all the families that were affected by this, until just this past week, I never really thought through the fact that a lot of families lost their babies because Herod went on a killing rampage. A lot of things changed. It also affected the plans of the Jews. They were planning on having a political Messiah who would come and lead them into a state of independence from the evil Roman Empire. They had their expectations. And too many times, let me just put this in here. I didn't do this yesterday. I'm going to put this in you just for your thinking. Too many times when we have expectations and our expectations aren't met the way we think they should be met, many times we either get mad at somebody else because they didn't fulfill our expectations, or we get mad at God because he didn't fulfill our expectations. But let me say this to you in a Christian way. Who are you to say that your expectations were correct for somebody else or for God? Many times we back out and we get all worked up because our expectations of somebody else isn't fulfilled. What's that little saying? If you mind your own business, you won't be minding somebody else's. That was for free. So they had all these expectations of Jesus. Instead, they got a Messiah who told them to turn the other cheek, to go the extra mile, to love their enemies. That wasn't what they were expecting. God affected everybody's plans, but especially Mary's. And not surprisingly, she was in what I think could be described as a state of shock. Because in Luke, it says, confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Many times we try to reason humanly what God is wanting to do supernaturally. I'm sure many of us have had our lives turned upside down by different events or that were unplanned. We could probably stay here all night, honestly, and we could all share things, how God changed our plans. Just life in general. Sometimes it happens from God, and sometimes it happens from decisions that we've made that were unadvised. But life can be, it's like that friend of mine, he's a preacher, and a lady come up to him, and she said, Pastor, he asked her how she's doing. She says, I'm on top of the world. And the preacher said, well, hang on, lady, it turns over every 24 hours. But how do we respond initially when we find ourselves in a life-altering circumstance? Many times we question God. And we see that really Mary was no different, because Mary questioned God's plans. Did you see that? But she didn't question, listen, she didn't question God out of anger or disrespect. I hear people a lot of times, and let me just put this in you. A lot of times people say, well, if you're mad at God, you just need to tell him that you're mad at him. Listen, You don't have any ground to stand on, first of all, to be mad at God. Because all good and perfect things come from above. A lot of times the things that are terrible in our lives, it's because there's an enemy in this world or because of decisions that we made and messed things up. But listen, if it's a good thing, it came from God. And if it's not a good thing, it didn't come from God. So she asked him respectfully. Mary asked the angel, says, how can this happen? I'm a virgin. And when someone comes along and drastically changes our plans, we are often left questioning God. Why did this happen? How could this happen? And we find Mary asking similar questions of God. Please notice that the angel doesn't condemn Mary for asking the question. God is not offended when we bring our honest questions before him. In fact, her child that she was going to raise, Mary's child that she was going to raise, would one day say, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door will be opened. He said, ask, and I will give you an answer. God invites us to bring our questions and concerns to him. When your world gets turned upside down, don't be afraid to go to God with tough questions. He may have a plan that will change the world. Maybe, for sure, change your world. God isn't pleased when his children put on fake smiles and just pretend that everything is all right when it's not really all right. Listen, we need to be authentic people before God. He appreciates and respects our authentic transparency. The third thing is that God revealed his plans. He didn't keep his plans. He revealed them to Mary. And when she came to God with her question, he provided the answer. The angel said, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. I'm not sure that the angel's answer completely provided all of the information that Mary wanted. I mean, I'm one of them guys, whenever I'm challenged with something, I want all the information before I can give a good answer. Are you guys like that? Are you girls like that? I want all the information. I'm not sure that God gave her all of the, well, I'm sure he didn't give her all the information, but she, by faith, accepted what information she gave him because it was God that was speaking to her through the angel. So Mary made room for a beautiful interruption in her life as well. And she said, I am the Lord's servant. Let me just ask you, if God interrupted you, what would your response be? Would you say, oh, let me get my phone and check my calendar. Let me see if I can calendar you in, God. Are we like kind of like that this day and age? Is kind of like we all have these agendas and we're booked up through this day and this day and this. It's kind of like the guy he was at marriage counseling and he goes. Some of y'all may have heard this, but he was at marriage counseling and the counselor just got so frustrated with the husband and the wife sitting there and she don't know what to do. And so the psychologist, he gets up and he grabs this guy's wife's hands. He picks her up and he just grabs her and he just kisses her right soundly right on the lips. And that guy's eyes got big and that counselor said, now, that's what your wife needs on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And the guy goes, well, I can bring her in on Mondays and Wednesdays, but I play golf on Friday. You don't want to say that to God. Well, I can go to them life groups on, I don't know, you know, let me think. Let me check my calendar. Oh, y'all looking awful holy on me out there. Like, you ain't never done that. You know, I don't know what he's talking about. Well, he speaks to us through the Bible. We preached last week and just so you, God reveals his will, probably 80 to 90% of his will he reveals through the word of God. That's why we're always saying study the Bible. You can't know God until you know his word. And the more you know God's word, the more you know God. And that's why we're just like always going, you might get tired of me standing up here and saying, study the word, let the word live in you, and that way you'll know God. But listen, it's life to you. Does that make sense? Just get that life in you. God's trying to put ideas in our head, and a lot of times what we call that is inspiration, but I want you to know as well, Satan is constantly trying to put ideas in your head as well, and that's called temptation. Satan's job is to trick you into thinking that his temptation is really inspiration. This is a good word, if you hear me now. So be very careful and make sure your impressions jive with God's word. Let me tell you something. Satan is a mimic. Have you ever said, you thought you were hearing from God about something, and you're like, I could sit here and tell you all kinds of stories about that, but I don't have time. But how, man, I thought I heard from God, and it wasn't God. It was wrong. But the enemy, the devil, is a mimic, and he mimics God's voice. And if you're not careful, you'll pay attention to what the devil's tempting you to do instead of what God is inspiring you to do. So Mary, here she is. She submitted to God's plan. When God provided an answer to her questions, Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. Then the angel left her. At the end of the day, God does not expect us to know it all or to understand it all, but that is when faith overcomes fear. It can be tough for us to do because we like to be in charge. We like to be the ones that calls the shots, but this is what it means to follow Christ. What God wants from us is our willingness to be faithful to him by submitting to his plans and his agenda for our lives. It's not really a guessing game or a riddle that we have to solve. The real key is simply being willing to submit your life to God moment by moment as you live your life out. Are you willing to do that? So in conclusion, here it is. Anytime God interrupts our plans or your plans, it is only because he has a better idea. Amen? Mary was simply planning on settling down, marrying a carpenter and raising a family. But God said, Mary, I don't want you to just give birth to a baby boy. I want you to give birth to a king. I don't want you to merely raise a son. I want you to raise a savior. I want you to give up your good plan for my great plan. One of the realities that we need to be aware of in this holiday season is that God's plans often come through unwanted interruption, through unwanted gifts. So in preparation for the very first Christmas, Mary made room in her womb for Jesus. She made room. She said, let it be unto me as you have said. She made room in her womb for Jesus. So the question today, will you make room in your heart for Jesus? Because he is the one who has a wonderful plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper to you, not to harm you, but give you hope for your future. God wants to give you hope for your future. I'm so thankful that he loves us like that. When our kids was growing up, one of our favorite cartoons to watch with the kids was Pinky and the Brain. Anybody ever see that? Raise your hand if you've ever seen Pinky and the Brain. Now, not all of y'all are just like really privileged to be able to see this cartoon, so I'm going to tell you what it's like. Pinky and the Brain is two lab rats. Pinky is the big, tall, lanky, goofy lab rat, and then the small, the short lab rat, he's the brain. He's like a mad scientist. And at the beginning of every cartoon, every one of the cartoons, it says, Pinky says to the brain, Brain, what are we going to do today? And the brain looks up at Pinky and says, Pinky, the same thing we do every day, try to take over the world. Now, it's much better than Bubba Gumpy, trust me. Any of them, too old. I don't know if this really happened or not, so this is just kind of Randy talking right now. But I do believe this, that God the Father had a conversation with God the Son at some point in time in eternal heaven before he came down. And it just amazes me that God would humble himself to the point where he would be in a woman's womb and he would be a defenseless little baby in this world, that he would lower himself to us and be born in a manger so he could identify with cowboys too. Amen. You know what I'm saying? But I imagine God the Father at one point in time had a conversation with God the Son, and it might have gone something like this. Father, what are we going to do today? And the Father says to the Son, I'm going to send you down because I love this world so much. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that whosoever believes in him. I'm going to send you down there, Son, and we're going to take over the world. One soul at a time. But the difference is we're going to let everybody make their own choice. We're not going to make them serve us. We're going to give them the choice. Because we have chosen them, we are going to hope that they will choose us. And the Bible says, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, laid him in a manger. My Bible tells me that when, after Jesus died, and you've heard me say this before, but that he ascended into the heavens, and the angel stood there and said to the people, looking up into the air, and says, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus that you've seen go away will come back in like manner, just as you have seen him go. But when he comes back, he won't come back as a shepherd. He'll come back as a lion, the Lion of Judah that breaks every chain, and he will rule this world. The Bible says there'll be a new heaven, there'll be a new earth, for the former things have passed away. It says every knee will bow. You know, when you're all powerful, you can be God. And there's only one God, only one name given under heaven whereby man must be saved. And that's the name of Jesus. They'll call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. But he said, one of these days, there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. He said, old things will pass away. Behold, all things. Everybody say all things. All things will become new. All things. That means if you got a little sore back, or if you got a bad tooth, or you got a sin problem and you're trying real hard not to have that sin problem, and you're working real hard to be the kind of person that God, there'll be no more temptation, no more sickness, no more sorrow, no more partying over there. All will be peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. What a day that will be. I just want to go. I'm ready tonight. If you go, have you ever had somebody say, well, yeah, I'm ready to go, but I don't want to go today? I'm like, I do. I'm ready right now. He calls me, I'm ready to go. If we believe what we preach, we ought to be looking forward to going to heaven. Amen. Lord, I thank you, Lord, for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your many blessings, that your word is what penetrates our hearts. Lord, I pray for everybody here, oh God. I pray that you'd help us, Lord, to take a look on the inside of ourselves, Lord, to inspect ourselves, oh God. Help us, Lord, to know ourselves and to know you, oh God. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to follow you closer, to grow and mature in you. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and may all of our motives be as Mary's motive was, that whatever you say, Lord, that's what we want, because we trust you. Thank you, Lord, for interrupting us this evening with your word. We thank you for the privilege of being in your presence. I'd like for you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed for just a second. The Bible says that we've all sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. It also says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, that we'll be saved. So this evening, if you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, maybe if you haven't, you just haven't been living for him, simply by raising your hand, say, "Preacher, I need this kind of an interruption in my life. I need Jesus to be the Lord of my life. I need to make him my Lord." Slip your hand up high. We want to put a Bible in it. Anybody. "Preacher, that's me." Anybody. Yeah, thank you. Yeah. Slip your hand up high. We don't want to miss anybody. Want to put a Bible in your hand? Anybody. Thank you. Anybody. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else? "Preacher, that's me." Amen. If you raise your hand, would you look up at me? Would you like to come up? Would you mind coming up and let me pray with you? I'd love to pray with you. Do you mind? If you raised your hand, come on up and let me pray with you. I'd be honored to pray. Oh, look at you. I'm so proud of you. Yeah. Anybody else? This is the most important decision you'll ever make in your life. My goodness. This is the greatest thing you could ever do. Amen. It's good. It's a good night. The greatest gift that we could give Jesus is ourselves. And that's what you're doing tonight. Did you know that? You're going to give Jesus a gift. Tell me your name. Hannah. Hannah? I'm glad you came up. Can I pray with you? Just repeat after me. The Bible says if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God's raised him from the dead, we'll be saved. We have to believe that he's alive. That's the big deal. Because, you know, like Buddha and all them other guys, they didn't come up out of the grave, but Jesus did. That's why it's a true religion, because he's got power over death. All right? Can I pray with you? Okay, just repeat after me. Y'all help us. Just say, "Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins. Lord, I am a sinner. Please forgive me. I invite you into my heart. I invite you into my life. From this day forward, I give my life to you. Help me to read my Bible. Pray, show up for church, and get baptized. I love you, Jesus. Teach me to love you more. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen." I'm so proud of you. Bless you. Can I give you a hug? Thank you. Now look here. You're going to have a lot of the same problems when you leave here that you had when you came, but God's with you now. You're not by yourself ever again. He said he'd never leave you or forsake you. So wherever you go, you're taking God with you. He said your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, that God lives in us. He doesn't stay here when we leave. He goes with us. Isn't that cool? So keep showing up. Let us help you, okay? Thank you. Talk to those ladies for just a sec, if you don't mind. Stand with me, please. That's sweet. Thank you, Lord. The question I have for you this evening is, I just want to talk to you just for a half a second about your calendar. How busy are you really? Do you find yourself saying you're busy a lot? "I'm just busy. I'm busy." We're all busy. But you know what? we all have time to do what's the most important thing to us. You always do what's important to you. Amen? So, I don't even need an amen. I know it's true. You do what's important to you. And you have time to do what you want to do. Amen? Don't leave me now. I said, you have time to do what you want to do. It's just about what do you want to do. So my question to you, how many say, preacher, I need to readjust my calendar and I need to give God his proper time because eternity, I value eternity more than what I've really put in my calendar. And I need to, and I'm going to value my walk with God more than I have been because I haven't been valuing it in a way that's really pleasing to God. Raise your hand. Okay, good for you. Good for you. So let me pray with y'all. And everybody that didn't raise your hand too, and we'll all surrender to God fresh and anew. Lord, we stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance, remembering, oh God, that you are the author and the finisher of our faith. I thank you, Lord, that your word is living and powerful inside of us. And Lord, I pray, oh God, that you would help everybody, every one of us, Lord, to value our time with you more than anything else, to seek you first in your kingdom and your righteousness, and then let all the other things be added to us, because you said your kingdom will have no end, and we are your representatives, kingdom representatives. Help us to be good stewards of the kingdom, oh God. Each and every one of us, help us to be good stewards of your kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for helping us. We pray, oh God, tonight, Lord, as we spend a little time with you, oh God, that you would just give us wisdom in everything we do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. I invite y'all to come down, spend some time at the altar. Mm-hmm.